Okay, I'd like to welcome everyone for a meeting of the CSIS Turkey project. Our guest today is His Excellency Mehmet Mehdi Eker, the Turkish Minister of Agriculture and Rural Affairs. To give him his full title, Mr. Minister, welcome to CSIS. I was also going to recognize two members of the Turkish National Assembly who are here, Mr. Mehmet Çavuşoğlu, whom I know, and one of his colleagues. His name?
Ahmet.
Welcome. Also, I was going to welcome the governor of the Diyarbakır province, but apparently he's not here. And the senior members of the delegation, as well as businessmen from Turkey who are with the minister. Now, although the CSIS Turkey project has had hundreds of meetings over the past 12 years on all sorts of issues, Turkish foreign affairs, economy, this is the first time we've had a meeting on Turkish agriculture. I know you will talk about other aspects of your government's work. The title is Progress on Every Front. But we are breaking new ground here with agriculture, which is an important issue that we neglected. So thank you for filling that gap for us. One note before I give you the floor. Now, this happens to be the room in which Mr. Tayyip Erdogan first spoke at CSIS. Yeah. By coincidence, we didn't choose it deliberately. It was the only one available in January 2002. And I have to tell you, there were less people in the room when Mr. Erdogan came with Mr. Gül, Mr. Çavuşoğlu was here, than in January 2002. That was before he won the elections. Now, I know you got elections in 1 year's time. So maybe just as Mr. Erdogan was looking forward to the elections of 2002 when he came, maybe you might want to look ahead to the elections of 2007. Anyway, welcome again to CSIS. The floor is yours, Mr. Minister.
Thank you very much. Distinguished participants, at the outset, I would like to thank the distinguished members of the Center of Strategic and International Studies for their warm welcome and hospitality on my behalf and on behalf of my delegation. In addition, I'd like to express my gratitude to be here at such an esteemed institute and to address to such a distinguished audience and to share my opinion. Distinguished participants, we are here together with a diverse delegation consisting of members from public institutions, non-governmental organizations, private sector companies, and press. I believe that this visit will create significant opportunities for establishing new cooperation areas with the USA, which has had an important place in Turkey's political, economic, military, and strategic relations throughout history. As you all know, Turkey, the bridge of civilizations connecting Europe, Asia, and Africa, is one of the most strategic countries in the world due to its geopolitical position. Turkey is a strong bridge not only between the Eastern and Western civilizations, but also between the religions, both for the neighbor countries and as well as for the whole world. Our country, which has been a cradle for many civilizations and celestial religions, has a historical and cultural heritage, ensuring the transfer of tolerance and brotherhood from the past to the present. In particular, the new formations brought with the globalization process further increased the strategic importance of Turkey in the world. Turkey has a relatively young population compared to most of the European Union countries and USA. More than 60% of the total Turkish population is younger than 30 years old. In Turkey, where positive developments have been observed in terms of skilled labor in recent years, one out of four persons is somewhat student. This is a strong indication that the future prospects of Turkey will be formed by the qualified and educated young generation. Distinguished guests, Turkey is located at the heart of a region neighboring more than 1 billion of world population and producing more than one quarter of the world's output. As in the other fields, Turkey has made a great progress in the field of economy during our governmental stage. While Turkey had a GDP of $145 billion in 2001, this figure increased about three times and therefore reached up to the $380 billion during the term of the current government. As a result of economic progress achieved in the last 3 years, national income per capita has increased about 100%. The inflation rate, which is the most important indicator of the economy, has recently been cut down to a single digit from three digits. Furthermore, projection of the inflation rate for the next 2 years is about 5%. While Turkey had a trade volume of $72 billion in 2001, this figure has reached up to about $200 billion today. When we look at the figures regarding the economic growth, we realize an annual growth rate of 7.7% between the years of 2002 and 2005. The annual average growth rate of Turkish economy within the period of 1992 to 2002 was, however, only about 2.8%. GNP per capita has doubled in the last 3 years, and it will again be doubled in 2010 compared to the year 2005. Based on the data of the World Bank, today's Turkey is the second fastest growing economy, 16th biggest economy, 22nd biggest exporter, 14th biggest importer among 127 countries in the world. With a dynamic economy, a large domestic market, a competitive industry, and skilled labor force, Turkey presents numerous opportunities for the foreign investors. Today, Turkey has a functional market economy approved all around the world. Hence, the expectation of our country from the U.S. government and the investors is to choose Turkey as an exportation base within the region and to encourage their private sector to invest in Turkey. Endowed with so many natural beauties, Turkey is a truly God-given tourism paradise. One could enjoy four different seasons at the same time. Currently, about 20 million visitors come to our country annually. The 2010 projection of Turkish tourism sector, however, is to reach up to about 30 million visitors. Turkey is a unique country in this field with invaluable tourism diversity. Distinguished participants, Turkey is located in close proximity to 70% of the world's proven energy resources. New pipelines, which will carry Caspian oil and gas to Western markets, are expected to pass through Turkey's territory, linking Europe to Asia through energy corridors, are the main tenets of Turkey's Eurasian vision. Expectedly, about 6 to 7% of global oil supply will transit Turkey in a year. Turkey is favorable for production of many crops thanks to its geographical conditions, rich lands, and climatic conditions. Half of the lands of the country are occupied by agricultural activities. The small and fragmented agricultural enterprises in Turkish agriculture are about to be replaced by larger and integrated modern structures. Productivity is also improved by using new technologies and methods. Turkish agricultural sector has a potential of feeding the whole country, and agricultural exportation increases day by day. Thus, agriculture can feed more population with less employment in the sector. While the growth rate in agriculture was 2.5% in year 2003, this figure was raised to 5.6% in year 2005. GNP and GNP per capita in agriculture have made a significant increase in recent years. With the agricultural strategy document prepared by our government, medium-term policies that will be implemented between the years 2006 and 2010 were specified. In this document, we aimed at implementation of support instruments without detrimental effects on the market conditions, arrangements in parallel with the European Union and WTO agricultural agreements, consideration of agriculture and rural development in a complementary approach, completion of agricultural institutionalization and organization, and a competitive agricultural policy. Our main approach in agriculture is to reduce the role of the public services in agriculture as well as in other fields, and to ensure food safety and security and exchange of information between the producers and the consumers. Within this framework, 16 state agricultural enterprises out of 38 were opened to the private sector by the government. Other enterprises will be opened to the domestic and foreign investors. Therefore, these enterprises will be turned into agricultural incubation centers. We will also turn our agricultural research institutes under the body of our ministry into agricultural technology improvement centers. The state will have a role of paving the way for the private sector instead of competing with it in the agricultural sector. Today, we are implementing an agricultural reform program aiming to recognize agricultural subsidies, to ensure supply-demand balance, to create a more competitive agricultural sector, and to reduce the government intervention. Today, Turkey has an advantaged place in the world in terms of agricultural, with its rich natural and human resources, lands on which relatively less chemicals are used, rich in biological diversity, favorable climatic conditions, and vast agricultural lands. Therefore, thanks to this potential, Turkey is the first producer in dried apricot, hazelnut, and fig production, fifth largest producer in food legumes, cotton, tobacco, olive, raisin, and several vegetable and fruit varieties, 10th largest producer in wheat, barley, almond, citrus fruit, and tea production in the world. In addition, Anatolia is an important gene center of about 12,000 plant taxons in Turkey. 32% is endemic. Dear friends, the biggest asset of Turkey is it is young and educated human resources. Turkey is one of the leading countries in Europe on sending students to overseas, including to the USA, for postgraduate study. In this field, Turkey is the fifth country in the world. While the share of the education expenses in GDP is 7.3% in Turkey, the average is 6% in OECD member countries. Total number of students in Turkey is about 16 million. And this figure represents 23% of the total population. The share of the scientific research in GMP was 0.8% in year 2000. This share will be increased to 2% in very near future. During the mission of our government, the Ministry of National Education has received the highest share from the national budget. This is the first time in the history of Turkey. Dear friends, here I'd like to underline that we consider the education of our children, whom we regard as the guarantee of our future, as the main achievement factor of our economic and social development. Today, the new mission ahead of our businessmen, academicians, public and private sectors is to get integrated with the world. And our vision is the whole geography from one polar to the other. Distinguished friends, we live together with our different identities, cultures, and traditions. Turkey is the sole country in the world having close relations with the Central Asian, Near Eastern, Middle Eastern, African, and most of the European countries. Turkey, adopting the democratic values of the West, but having strong ties with the Islamic world, has achieved the hard won by catching the Western standards without making any concession from its own culture. In addition, Turkey, with a democratic, secular, and social state structure, is a source of inspiration for so many countries desiring modernization and democratic way of life. After a serious and comprehensive reform process, the European Union-Turkey accession negotiations were started in October 2005. The decision on starting negotiations is a historical decision, not only for Turkey, but also for the European Union. We do not regard the European Union just as an economic union. We perceive this union as a unity for peace, welfare, and freedom within the framework of universal values. We think that the European Union will gain new dimensions from the peace and welfare of the mankind upon membership of our country. We believe that the European Union will add so much to our country, and our country will do so for the European Union in economic, social, and cultural terms. Membership of Turkey to the European Union will show to the world, and especially to the Muslim societies, that the East and the West, and Islam and other religions, can live together and survive in peace around common values. The primary objectives of Turkish foreign policy are to create a secure, peaceful, stable, prosperous, and cooperative regional and international environment. Laws and rules are also the main principles in our international relations. We strongly believe we are originating from such a civilization that there is no oppression but rules, no persecution but law in that civilization. Turkey's vision for the 21st century is to be a geopolitical key country, a modern secular democracy, a vibrant, successfully implementing reforms, a promising economic power, an energy hub for oil and gas transfer, a promoter for regional and international stability, a land of opportunity for investors. Undoubtedly, Turkey is a mediator for integration of cultures and civilizations. Today, what the world needs is to stand united and ally civilizations. These are also the two main pillars for the future prospects of Turkey. Distinguished guests, now I'd like to talk a little bit about the Turkish agriculture and one of the most ambitious agricultural development projects called GAP, which is undertaken by Turkish national capital, national efforts, and national motivation. I was born in a city called Diyarbakır, located in the southeastern Anatolia region. This region is also called as Upper Mesopotamia and irrigated by the Euphrates and Tigris rivers. This region, also known as the most productive lands of the world, where agriculture was first initiated in the history of mankind. The saplings irrigated by the waters of the Euphrates and Tigris, vitalizing the first seed, have always become crops. I am also talking about a region where different cultures, civilizations, languages, religions, and colors come and live together in peace. To struggle with terrorism, the Republic of Turkey carries out one of the most important, sustainable, and human-oriented regional development projects in southeastern Anatolian region. With this project at regional level, we plan a 445% increase in GDP, a 209% increase in income per capita, employment for 3.8 million for a region housing 7 million people, irrigation for 1.7 million hectares of agricultural land, 27 billion kilowatt hour energy production. The total cost of the project is $32 billion and $17 billion, corresponding to 54% of realization, has already been spent since 1989. According to the master plan, the project will be finished by the end of year 2010. Dear friends, after this huge physical development project, I would like to touch upon our human development philosophy. My main approach to freedom of thought and expression is to tolerate the opinions of the others. I, as a minister of a country that has made a great progress in recent years, believe that you are aware of our sensitivity and determination about this issue. However, it is obvious that all freedom should be enjoyed with a certain awareness of responsibility. In accordance with the law for international human rights, even freedom of expression is not an absolute right, and conservation of the rights of other people is subjected to several restrictions. It is emphasized in the third paragraph of Article 19 of UN Civil and Political Rights Contract that freedom of expression should be enjoyed with a particular responsibility. In accordance with the case law of the European Court of Human Rights, freedom of expression may be restricted in case of direct encouragement and provocation of terrorism and violence, incitement of antagonism and hatred feelings, or attack to the religious values. Therefore, no one has the right to assault at the other's values, because freedom has a limit. No freedom is infinite. Thanks to these historical experiences, Turkey is the guarantee of peace and brotherhood in the region. Dear guests, when the countries approach each other, unfortunately, peace and comfort have not equally been maintained. Today, we regretfully see that we just focus on differences instead of common values of the human being. Therefore, one unhappiness strikes more than 1,000 happiness. Today, blind fanaticism emphasizing just differences rather than common values has unfortunately caused some kind of war in 150 countries in the world. We need to keep in mind that fanaticism is only to see life and justice rights for oneself, but spare them for others. No matter in which country we live, and no matter what we believe, everybody on earth has to struggle against fanaticism, because we are responsible not only for ourselves, but also for each living being's rights. This is the main perception of our civilization. Dear friends, we have excitingly been working on moving Turkey forward to accomplish the ideas and goals with the enthusiasm of the first day. If the velocity of time does not make you dazzled, if you are not exhausted, if your power and energy sufficient not only for your current position, but also for a longer run, then you are the hope, you are the future. Distinguished friends, terrorism is a phenomenon that you could never know how, who, where, and when will be struck. Isolation of terrorism is only possible by promoting the human rights and freedom so that it can be eradicated from the society. In a global world, it is essential to maintain unity within a diversity carrying norms and definite cultures. In the literature of our party, the concept of other does not exist. All our effort is to promote justice for development of Turkey. We never disregard the unity of Turkey, and never will we. We are working for peace and security for everyone, and we are not the government of only the ones who vote for our party, but also of the whole 73 million Turkish citizens. We know very well how Turkish nations suffered from political acts, formation of divergent groups, polarization, and discrimination. Our nation, which has been through these harsh experiences in the past, is also aware of this bitter fact. The goal of terrorism is to destroy stability and peace. Justice and Development Party has three red lines. First, no ethnic discrimination. Second, no regional discrimination. And third, no religious discrimination. Our basic philosophy is to love all creatures for the sake of the Creator. Justice and Development Party is a political party embracing all colors and values of Turkey. The prospects and worries of our citizens have become our concern regardless of their thought and lifestyle. As it always is, we have found out the naked truth together. These common grounds have strengthened our party and brought us to the governmental power. I know that all great achievements commence with fancy dreams. However, it is also essential to work faithfully to convert these dreams into permanent success. As a nation, our future target for Turkey is to be totally digressed from economic problems, achieve sustainable development, and become a social state. We have the necessary desire and self-confidence to achieve these goals. With the power of the youth, natural and historical beauties, political significance in the region, and rapidly growing economy, Turkey aims to be among the top 10 leading countries of the 21st century in the world. I would like to thank you all for your patience and wish the humankind a more tolerant world dominated by peace and hope. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Minister. I know you're going to be going to Capitol Hill, so we've got about half an hour for some questions that you've kindly agreed to take. Presentation by the Minister will be available on our website for those who were unable to come, both in audio and text form, and as will the questions and answers. Mr. Minister, you dwelt, and I think rightly, in view of the recent bombing in Diyarbakir, which you said is your hometown, which cost 10 lives and wounded many others, on the issue of terrorism. And I noted that when you referred to the GUP project, you said this was very important in ending terrorism in the long term. Now, my question is,
That is a long-term project, and unfortunately terrorism occurs in the short term, in the immediate present, as it were. How worried are you about the resurgence of terrorism, one? And secondly, in view of the fact that Prime Minister Erdogan is coming to meet President Bush, and the announcement from the White House yesterday referred to PKK terrorism as one of the issues that will be discussed. You're speaking in Washington. What is it that you talked about, the need for a common front on this issue? I'd like to give you the opportunity to say something about what the United States could do on this issue, given the fact that you have focused quite a bit on it.
Şey aldım. Ben Türkçe söyleyeyim, sen tercüme.
Tamam.
Olur mu?
I will be translated. The minister will speak in Turkish and there will be a translation.
Öncelikle teşekkür ederim. Tabii konuşmamda da belirttiğim gibi terörizm bizim için çok önemli global bir sorun.
I wish to first thank you. As I also pointed out in my speech, naturally terrorism for us is a very important and a global problem.
Biz PKK ile bölgede insan haklarının geliştirilmesi, demokratikleşme ve sivilleşme alanında gerçekleştirdiğimiz reformlarla en büyük mücadeleyi yaptık esasen.
We've combated the PKK most importantly with the reforms that we conducted in the region in the fields of democratization and promoting civil society.
Bunun yanında bölge insanlarının ihtiyaç duyduğu altyapı yatırımlarına büyük bir imkan sağladık.
And beyond this, we've also, of course, contributed significantly to the infrastructure which the people of the region so desperately needed.
PKK istismar edeceği bir alan kalmayınca yeniden terörizme sarıldı.
And that left the PKK with no issues that they could abuse, and therefore they resorted again to terrorism.
Bir kısa vadede tabii alınacak tedbirler var. Yani güvenlik kuvvetlerinin alacağı tedbirler var. Bunlar alınıyor. Fakat burada özellikle demokratik ve bir sistemde ve hukuk devleti ilkeleri içerisinde biz bu mücadeleyi yapıyoruz.
Naturally, in the short term, there are security measures which need to be taken, and these are being taken. However, we are conducting this struggle within the framework of a state that is a state that abides to the rule of law.
Birleşik Devletler'den beklentilerimiz terörizmle mücadelede bir takım ortak tutum içerisinde olma.
From the United States, we expect that we can be with them in some form of joint action.
Son günlerde Amerika Birleşik Devletleri'nin PKK ile mücadele konusunda bir koordinatör ataması ve aynı şekilde Türkiye'de de bir emekli orgeneralin Edip Başer Paşa'nın atanması bu konuda ortak bir çalışma yapılacağının işaretidir.
In the recent days, the USA has announced that a coordinator for combating the PKK has been set forth, and naturally in Turkey also general Edip Başer has been selected as the person who's a counterpart.
Bu tabii olumlu bir adım ve olumlu bir gelişme. Bunun bölgede PKK ile ve terörizmle mücadelede başka bir takım faaliyetlere öncülük edeceğini düşünüyorum.
This is of course a very positive development, and we hope, I believe that this will be the precursor to fighting the PKK in the region with a number of other instruments. Thank you.
The floor is now open. If you could please put your hand up and then identify yourself. Gentlemen. Yeah.
One thing that you didn't mention about all the agriculture is livestock. And I worked on livestock in 1975 on the World Bank project. I'm wondering what is the problem, why has the livestock developed, why have numbers declined so drastically, cattle numbers and others, why is there such inefficiencies? And what does your ministry hope to do with that? That includes also feed grades, which is a problem. So,
sounds like a tough question, Mr. Minister.
Evet, teşekkür ediyorum. Tabii sayısal anlamda Türkiye'de hayvan varlığında bir azalma var. Ancak Türkiye'de birim hayvandan alınan verim sürekli artıyor. Bu bir defa önemli bir faktör. Yani önemli olan sayısal varlığın artması değil, önemli olan birim hayvandan elde edilen üründür.
Thank you for this question. In numeric terms, you're right, there is a decrease in the number of livestock. However, that is only in numeric terms. If you look at the issue from the point of view of productivity per head, then there's, of course, a significant increase in recent years, and that is really what is more important.
1975'li yıllardan bahsetti Mike. 75'li yıllarda Türkiye'de 17-18 milyon sığır varlığı vardı. Bugün 11 milyon sığır varlığı var. Ama o gün 1975'li yıllarda bir hayvandan alınan süt miktarı yaklaşık 800 litre ile 1,5 ton arasındaydı.
In the years that you mentioned, the mid-70s, in Turkey there were about 17 to 18 million cattle present. Today that number is decreased down to 11 million. In 1975, we were able to get about 800 liters to 1.5 tons of milk from each cattle.
Keza bir hayvandan alınan, bir sığırdan alınan et miktarı da 70 ile 110 kilo arasındaydı.
And
karkas olarak.
And the meat from the carcass of each animal that we could obtain in the mid-1970s was somewhere between 70 to 110 kilos.
Bugün ortalama karkas, bir hayvandan alınan ortalama karkas 180 kilo Türkiye'de.
Today that number has increased to 180 kilos.
Ve süt de bugün bir mesela sığırdan alınan süt miktarı eğer kültür ırkı veya melezi ise bu ortalama 4 ila 5 ton süt de tekabül ediyor.
Today, in terms of the milk that we can gather from the animals, depending on the breed of the animal, whether it's purebred or not, we can gather up to 4.5 tons of milk from one animal.
Dolayısıyla toplam süt üretimi ve toplam et üretimi 70'li yıllara göre çok ciddi bir artış göstermiştir.
So, compared to the 1970s, the total amount of meat and milk that we can produce has increased exponentially.
Bizim hükümetimiz döneminde hayvancılığın geliştirilmesi için çok ciddi projeler başlatılmıştır.
During the tenure of our government, many serious projects for the development of this industry, this sector, have been put into action.
Mesela biz tarım hayvancılıkla ilgili desteklemeler için bütçeden ayrılan parayı 5-6 kat arttırdık.
Just one example would be to mention that we have increased the allocation from our budget to this sector 5 to 6-fold as this government took over.
As a specialist, are you comfortable with the answer, or do you want to follow up?
The question is, the following follow-up to that is, why is the price of beef the highest in the world?
Do you want to take that
question? Yes. Şimdi tabii şundandır, bizim sığır eti ihtiyacımız kadar şu anda üretilmiyor. Onun için fiyatın pahalı olmasının sebebi odur. Bir de Avrupa'da görülen BSE hastalığı sebebiyle 1996'dan bu yana biz hayvansal ürün ithalatı yapmıyoruz. Bunun da tabii dolayısıyla sadece içerideki üretimle kalıyoruz. Ve içerideki üretim bizim artan nüfusun taleplerini şu anda çok yüksek düzeyde karşılamaktan uzak. Ama bu hızla gelişiyor.
There are two reasons that I can mention in this context. The beef that we do have in Turkey is insufficient to meet the demand. That is one reason for the prices that being fairly high. And the other reason is that due to the mad cow disease, BSC, Turkey has not been importing beef since 1996, and this also causes prices to be high. However, of course, we also have a steadily increasing population, which contributes to this, but I can tell you that production is increasing steadily also.
Thank you. Question to answer. Joe.
Sayın Kerim Bakana, hoş geldiniz.
Joe, do you want to identify yourself to those who don't hear you?
No,
can you identify yourself for those who don't know you?
Oh, I'm just Joe Lukic. I'm a civil businessman. Works in Turkey a lot. I'd like to work a lot more, but anyway, hoş geldiniz, Kerim Bakana.
Hoş geldin.
You mentioned in your presentation that the gap is about 54% completed, if I am informed correctly. And we know about the big privatization efforts of the Tigin Farms and how that will play into your future plans. I guess my question is there some opportunity in which your discussions this morning with our agricultural officials at U.S. Department of Agriculture is going to lead towards more enhanced cooperation? I would like you to comment, if you would, on your discussions and how it looks so far for your present trip to our government officials.
Evet.
Thank you.
Teşekkür ederim. Önce bir düzeltme yapayım. GAP'ta %44 tamamlanma diye anlaşılmış galiba. Bu, ben öyle söylemedim.
54.
Evet. Şimdi GAP'ta toplam olarak ben yani harcanan parayı söyledim. Ancak GAP'ta enerji amacı %77'ye ulaştı. Yani enerji hedefi, enerji üretme hedefi %77. Fakat sulama hedefi henüz o düzeyde değil. %14-15 arasında. Önce onu düzelteyim.
GAP, of course, is 54% complete. There was no misunderstanding as to the number there. I mentioned the amount of total money spent on the GAP project. However, if we should break it down into sectors, the minister wishes to point out that close to 77% of the sector regarding energy within the GAP has been completed. It's in the sector of irrigation where the project has not been quite realized to that potential, and there we're looking at about 14% completion.
Temaslarıma gelince, tabii ben gelecekten umutluyum. Onun için buradayım. Türkiye ile Amerika Birleşik Devletleri arasında tarım alanında ve hayvancılık alanında bundan sonra çok daha iyi bir işbirliği yapılacağına inanıyorum.
Regarding my contacts here, I'm quite hopeful for the future. That is also why I'm here, and I believe that between the United States and Turkey, in the field of agriculture as well as livestock, we will have significant cooperation in the future.
Ben konuşmamda zaman sınırlı olduğu için tabii anlatamadım, yani imkanım olmadı. Şunu söyleyeyim, Türkiye Amerika Birleşik Devletleri ile mesela bizim devlete ait çiftliklerimizden birinde, ki bunlardan en büyüklerinden bir tanesi Ceylanpınar Tarım İşletmesi'dir. 1 milyon 700 bin dekar, yani 170 bin hektar araziye sahiptir. Ve organik üretim yapma imkanına sahiptir. Burada kurulacak bir teknokent ile hem üretim hem gıda sanayi bir arada düşünülerek buradan elde edilecek ürünler, konuşmamda belirttiğim hem Orta Doğu hem Yakın Doğu hem Kafkas ülkeleri, Rusya ve Orta Asya ülkelerine buradan rahatlıkla götürülebilir. Çünkü burada bir büyük talep var. Büyük bir talep var. Ve o bölgedeki insanların taleplerine uygun bir ürün deseni üretme imkanı var.
As time was limited during my conversation, I did not delve into the details. But just to take one example, we have very large agricultural facility. It's called the Ceylanpınar Agricultural Facility, and its size is a little over 170,000 hectares. Here we are capable of producing organic foodstuffs, and there is an idea that if a technopark were to be established within this facility, we would be in a position to produce export goods to all the regions that I touched upon during my speech, Central Asia, Russia, the Middle East, other neighboring regions. And here we can gear our products towards the demand in all these vast regions.
Bunu biz, yani Amerika Birleşik Devletleri'nden yatırımcılarla yapmak isteriz.
And we would like to do this with investors from the United States.
Teknoloji ile bütünleştirip, sermaye ile bütünleştirip rahatlıkla bu üretimi biz bu projeyi orada gerçekleştirebiliriz.
It's quite easy to bring the technology and the investment together and start with production here at Ceylanpınar.
Okay, other questions on agriculture or beyond? We've got 15 minutes.
Evet. Şimdi Birleşik Devletler Tarım Bakanı ile Türkiye arasında tarım alanında 1995 yılında 5 yıllığına bir mutabakat zaptı imzalanmış. Ve bunun süresi dolmuş. Dolayısıyla bunun yenilenmesi gerekiyor. Bununla ilgili hazırlıklar yapıldı, belli bir noktaya geldi. Doğrusu çok da aceleye getirmek istemedik. Yani tarafların daha rahat bir şekilde iki tarafında çıkarlarını ve taleplerini aynı oranda dikkate alan bir metnin ortaya çıkması tabii çalışma gerektiriyor. Belli bir düzeye geldi. Bu çok yakın bir zamanda tamamlanır diye. Çünkü prensipler üzerinde biz anlaştık. Ve ben Amerika Birleşik Devletleri Tarım Bakanlığı'nı Türkiye'ye davet ettim. Kendisi de bu daveti kabul etti ve uygun bir zamanda geleceğini söyledi. Aramızda bazı konular vardı. Bunlardan bir tanesi.
Evet, tercüme edelim mi? Evet. We have an agreement, a memorandum of understanding between our two nations that was signed in 1995 and it was signed for a duration of 5 years. As those 5 years were up, it has lapsed and it needs to be renewed. Our preparation for the new text is fairly advanced. We've come quite a long way in preparing for the new text, but we don't want to rush it because both sides should be able to think out in detail what their interests are, and it should be a balanced text that takes into account the interests and desires of both sides. But we've come quite a long way, and we've agreed on the principles. And we shall sign this fairly soon. I have invited my counterpart to Turkey, and he said that he will be coming to Turkey to visit us.
Ve Türkiye'de bunu çünkü bir önceki mutabakat zaptı Washington'da imzalanmış. Bu mutabakat zaptının Ankara'da imzalanmasını biz düşünüyoruz. O nedenle de zaten Sayın Bakan'ı davet ettim ve onu daveti kabul ederken de bunun o şekilde imzalanacağını ima etti, daha doğrusu o şekilde o ümidini izhar etti, belirtti yani o Türkiye'de bunun imzalanma ümidini. Burada birkaç tane konu hakkında biz konuştuk. Türkiye ile Amerika Birleşik Devletleri arasında tarımla ilgili ticarette bazı konular var bunun daha rahatlaması açısından. Mesela bunlardan bir tanesi çeltik pirinç ithalatı konusu idi. Bu konuyla ilgili zaten dış ticaretten sorumlu bakanımızın Temmuz ayında ticaret temsilcisine verdiği bir mektup var. O doğrultuda gerekenler yapılacak. BSE hastalığı sebebiyle bizim uyguladığımız ithalat yasağı ile ilgili gelişmeler incelenecek, izlenecek. Bunları konuştuk. Keza pet food dediğimiz ev hayvanları, evcil evlerde beslenen hayvanların yemleriyle ilgili bir test konusunda teknik takım şeyler vardı. Onları giderdik. Bunun dışında da yine böyle birkaç tane teknik mesele vardı. Bunları konuştuk.
The previous MOU was signed here in the United States. So we thought that it would be best if the second memorandum of understanding, the MOU, would be signed this time around in Turkey. And that is how I invited my counterpart to Turkey. And the secretary agreed, and he expressed sincere hope that this document would be signed during his visit in Turkey. Of course, there are a few topics that we are discussing within the framework of this. One is the issue of trade in rice, and regarding this, there was a letter that was conveyed to USTR by our minister responsible for foreign trade, Minister Tuzman. And this letter actually sets a course, and the issue is being worked upon within the framework of this letter. Another issue that we are discussing is the issue of importation of cattle or foodstuffs to Turkey within the framework of the BSEE problem. We're discussing how this might be further developed or resolved. Another issue that, again, we have been discussing and will take up in the future is or have taken up is the issue of pet food. There was a testing issue related to this field, the pet food field, and that has been pretty much taken care of, and the issue has been resolved. There are, of course, other issues as well.
Bir konu da teknik eleman değişimi, teknik eleman mübadelesi ve eğitimi konusunda yine bir bu konuda da bir mutabakat sağlandı. Ve Sayın Bakan Türkiye ile hem Türkiye Tarım Bakanlığı ile hem Türkiye Cumhuriyeti Hükümeti ile çok yakın çalışmak istediğini bu konuda net ve açık bir şekilde bunu izhar etti, ifade etti görüşme esnasında. Buradaki biraz önce söylediğimiz konular çerçevesinde kat edilecek mesafe bizim bu seyahatimizin amacına ulaşmasındaki yüzdeyi belirleyecektir. Bunu tercüme etsin.
Another issue that we've taken up is in this long list of issues that we've taken up is the exchange of exchange of technicians as well as training of technicians. We took this up with my counterpart here, and the secretary has stated that he wishes to work closely with the government as well as to work closely with my ministry.
Okay, very quickly.
You said State Minister Tüzmen sent a letter to the trade representative on the rice issue. What's the Turkish position at this point now? And secondly, about whether or not Republic of Portugal is U.S. Are you preparing to re-import U.S. or are you still considering pros and can you say that at some point Turkey will begin to
import
beef
from Turkey? Again, very quickly.
Önce şunu söyleyeyim. Tabii Devlet Bakanımız, Dış Ticaretten Sorumlu Devlet Bakanımızın buradaki söylediği husus şu. Biz birkaç yılda pirinç ithalatında bir tarife kontenjanı uygulaması yapıyorduk. Bu tarife kontenjanı uygulamasına son veriyoruz. Onu söylemek istiyorum. Birincisi. İkincisi, bizim esasen bir Türkiye serbest piyasa ekonomisinin hakim olduğu bir ülke. Bizim hayvansal ürün ithalatımızdaki kısıtlama yapmamızın sebebi sağlık meselesi. Yani Uluslararası Salgın Hastalıklar Ofisi'nin belirlediği kurallar var. Bu kurallara göre ithalat yapılır. Eğer bir ülkede mesela BSE hastalığı çıkmışsa bizim kurallarımıza göre de uluslararası kurallara göre de buralarda ithalatta bir takım kısıtlamalara gidilir. Bizim şu ana kadar yaptığımız yani ithalatı yaptırmamamızın sebebi esasen budur. Şimdi burada tabii bu hastalıkla ilgili olarak ülkelerin aldıkları tedbirler var. Buralarda bu tedbirler bunu ne derecede işte elimine etti? Bunlar tabii teknik olarak üzerinde çalışılması gereken hususlardır. Biz bu konudaki kanaatlerimizi, düşüncelerimizi ifade ettik.
Minister Tüzmen, in his correspondence or in his views, general views on this issue, had mentioned that there are some contingents that need to be followed related to rates when it comes to rice importation. And the second point is that Turkey, of course, has a free market economy. And as such, the only reason that we curtailed importation in cattle and such livestock is due to the fact that there were serious health concerns that we as a government have to deal with. Such curtailment occurs in line with the recommendations of international organizations which are responsible for following such issues. So Turkey was curtailing the importation in line with its own laws as well as the regulations and recommendations of international organizations.
May I ask the last question that a few minutes ago?
Sure. I really honestly cannot resist asking this question. Turkey, there are very few countries in the world that can feed themselves and also export food. You know, the U.S. is one, Turkey is another. But you don't hear as much as either from this government or from earlier governments about the Turkish potential in agriculture, like you hear about, for example, Turkey being an energy hub. Now, that's not, again, that's not unusual because the Secretary for Agriculture and what they do here does not get as much publicity as other departments in the U.S. So it's not an unusual situation. Everybody eats, but nobody really pays attention to this issue. My question is, do you expect that to change for your government, that there will be more focus on Turkey being a food hub, just as it is an energy hub, that the issue of Turkey's potential in agriculture with the regions that you talked about, the Caucasus, Middle East, will come more to the fore, not just in your work, but in, you know, the work of the government as a whole and the statements of the Prime Minister as the years ahead of us unfold?
Evet. Teşekkür ederim. Tabii belki detaylarını anlatamadım zamandan dolayı, zaman kısıtından dolayı. Ama Türkiye'nin Orta Doğu'da bir gıda üssü olabilmesi için biz gayret içerisindeyiz. Şu anda Türkiye tarım sektörüyle ilgili yapısal reformlar gerçekleştiriyoruz. Mesela Türkiye'de bir tarım kanunu yoktu. Ve işte bu sene biz Türkiye'de bir tarım kanunu çıkardık. Hep böyle gündelik Bakanlar Kurulu kararlarıyla yapılıyordu. Keza tarımsal işletmelerin yapısının ıslah edilmesi, modern üretim teknolojilerinin kullanılması, modern sulama tekniklerinin kullanılması, tarımsal işletmelerin transformasyonu, bütün bunlar bizim üzerinde birkaç senedir çok çalıştığımız konular. Ve bütün bunlar esasen Türkiye'nin kendi ihtiyacı dışında üreteceği, potansiyelini harekete geçireceği ve bu potansiyeli de çevre ülkelere, Avrupa dahil olmak üzere buralara dağıtabileceği bir gıda üretim merkezi haline getirmek içindir.
Again, because of a certain lack of time, I was unable to go into much detail on certain aspects during my address to you. We believe that Turkey can be transformed into a regional foodstuffs hub. We are working on reforming the entire sector. Previously, much work in the agricultural sector was done on a day-to-day basis by decisions taken in the Cabinet of Ministers. We have been successful in passing, for the first time, an agricultural law, or a law that that governs the field of agriculture. Furthermore, we are working on reforming the administration processes in agricultural plants, and we are working on other issues such as implementing modern irrigation standards and such. We do believe that through this work, we will be able to transform Turkey into a regional agricultural foodstuffs hub.
Çünkü böyle bir potansiyelimiz, böyle bir imkanımız var. Ve biz bunu bir ekonomik güce dönüştürmeye çalışıyoruz.
Because we do have this potential and we are trying to turn this into a source of economic strength.
Okay.
And with that, it's now 4:32 actually, it was 2 minutes late. I'd like to thank the minister. I've learned a great deal and let's hope that he enjoyed his experience of visiting CSIS. Thank you again, Mr. Minister.
Thank you.